and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Come on, let's pray. Church, pray with me today. Lord, we come before you with singing today. We come into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Lord, we are grateful, we are thankful for your blessing, your favor, your goodness, your mercy. Lord, you are good. And we've come to lift up the name of Jesus today. We've come to clap our hands and lift our voice and give praise to our God. Because Lord, you deserve it. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Give a big hand of praise and a shout. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to praise you. We come to worship you today.
Come on.
Thank you.
What is that name? Come on. Yes, the name. What is that name? Come on, sing it together. Jesus, we're here to lift up Jesus today. Joy has a name. And that name. To lift up the name of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is worthy. He is the Savior. He is risen. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the lily in the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the fairest of 10,000. There's no God like our God. His name is Jesus, and He is here with us today. The Bible tells us when two or three are gathered in My name, Jesus said, I am there in the midst of them. And Lord, we thank You that You are here in our midst today. I thank You, Lord, You are here to touch lives. You are here to transform us. You are here to break chains. You are here, Lord, to strengthen people, to fill us with joy, to fill us with peace, to heal, to deliver. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your presence in this place today. And Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way. I pray that You would move, and by Your Spirit, however You will, Lord, we welcome You in this place today. We thank You for the power in the name of Jesus, that name has been exalted above every other name, and every knee must bow at the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, that sickness must bow to the name of Jesus. I thank You that addiction must bow to the name of Jesus. Depression must bow to the name of Jesus. Poverty and lack has to bow to the name of Jesus. Fear must bow to the name of Jesus. We lift up that name in this place today. Sing it out one more time. Joy has a name. Jesus. Just sing it, Jesus. Victory has a name.
Thank You for revealing this right now. Thank You for what You're doing in His heart. whatever it is, Father, you hear it from the beginning, right, Father, the way that it's created to be in Jesus' name. I thank you for your anointing that flows through him right now, that his heart will function exactly the way that you've created it to function in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here that's got a skin irritation, a skin condition that's been bothering them, and they're calling on the Lord. Somebody with a skin condition. Is anybody here with that skin condition? Sometimes people are too shy to make it known. But if you're standing here, there's a, I don't know if it's eczema, I don't know if it's dry patches, there's something that's, maybe it's somebody that's watching. But I just release the healing power of God to flow into your body right now, wherever you are, wherever you're standing. We release the healing power of God, that then my skin begins to function the way that it's meant to, in the name of Jesus. There's somebody that's had a pain in their hip. Someone's got a pain in their hip. Is that you? Just come out here. There may be more than one. You've got a pain in your hip. Father, I release the healing power of God into Portia's hips right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the power of God flowing through. Thank you, Father, for healing everything. Everything right now in Mary Bell's body. Right now, Father, I release the healing power of God to flow through these hips. Thank you, Father, no more pain. No more pain. No more pain. Thank you for the power of God that flows into her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's somebody with them having an injury to the bottom of your back. It's a real lower back pain, but it's kind of been an injury that recurs and keeps coming back. It's a pain that you're dealing with through the years. Somebody with a lower back issue, real weak lower back. Just lift your hands right now. It's right behind you. I release the power of God to flow into her back right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the power of God flowing forth right now, Father, healing of everything that needs to be healed. Your anointing right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you walk pain-free. Pain-free. Somebody with a pain down the middle of their back right here. Probably the sciatica nerve. Somebody with a pain down the back of your leg, more in your side, that comes down and weakens you. Is anybody here with that? Someone here. Thank you, Lord. I just release the healing power of God to flow into your body right where you are. Right now, I release the healing power of God. If that's you, just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I receive it. I receive it right now. Somebody with a gallbladder. You've had a gallbladder issue. If you're in here, just raise your hand. There's somebody with a gallbladder issue. And the Lord's healing it right now. You would have had to have surgery. And he's going to take care of it supernaturally. It's something that he knows and I don't know. And then he says it because it's something that he wants to take care of right where you are. So just say, I receive that right now. I receive that healing right now. I don't need any surgery. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, family. We're a supernatural church. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, wants to minister to us, wants to help us in our walk with the Lord. He wants to help us. If there's somebody that's here or somebody that's watching and you had a grudge that you held because of the loss of a child, you lost a child, and you held on to that, it's been hard to shake, it's been a bitterness, it's been a burden on your shoulders for years, and the Lord's wanting to release you of that, wanting to let it go right now. If that's you right where you are, just say, thank you, Lord. Just say, I let this go. I lay this down right now in the name of Jesus. If that's you, just let it go. He can take it from you supernaturally. Amen. Come on, church, let's thank the Lord for what is good. Let's thank the Lord. We want to walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want to to hear from the Holy Spirit that this very week there are going to be things that can shoot up to your mind that are not the wisdom of men, but they are the wisdom of God. That He's going to implant ideas and thoughts and direction into your mind and guidance that only comes from the Spirit of God, that only comes from the mind of God. And He's going to lead and He's going to guide you in a supernatural way that maybe you haven't even seen for a while or even seen ever before. But you're going to see a marked increase in the thoughts from the Holy Spirit, in wisdom from God, popping up in your mind and giving you direction in your life. If you receive that, say, I receive that. I receive that today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
What was happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The amazing thing is that 90% of Christians are ignorant about spiritual gifts. A lot of Christians would come in here today and they wouldn't have any idea what was happening because they're ignorant about spiritual gifts. God said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. He goes on, He says, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. It's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, it goes on to say what the gifts of the Spirit are. In verse number 7, it says, verse 8, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge. That's okay, don't worry about it. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, the same word of knowledge. And what was happening right now, the Holy Spirit was reading to my wife what is called a word of knowledge, where He's showing her, telling her things that are happening. Someone's being healed of this, someone's being healed of that. How would she know that? Because the Holy Spirit's showing it to her. She's not just guessing and, listening. No, the Lord is revealing to her that He's healing people, and that's called the word of knowledge. And then He says to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings. That's gifts of healings we're operating today. People being healed, standing right there in your seat. The Holy Spirit moving across this place and healing people. Gifts of healings, and it says to another, the working of miracles. Some people, you received a miracle today, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all, these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. That's called the gifts of the Spirit. That's the way that the Holy Spirit operates. And when we come together and we start worshiping the Lord, we start worshiping Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to move. And these things should happen. If this doesn't happen in your church, then something's wrong. Because God wants to move and touch and change and transform and heal and deliver and do miracles. And the power of the Holy Spirit has been given. Like my wife said, we are a supernatural church because we believe we serve a supernatural God, and He does supernatural things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Turn to someone and tell them you're glad they're here before you sit down.
We get to minister to the Lord, and then He in turn ministers to us in a way that builds our faith, gives us encouragement and uplifts us for the week ahead. Amen? Today's no different. We expect that when we come into the house of God. And I just want to welcome you all, especially want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. We love to have visitors in our church, don't we? If you are here for the first time, we'd just like to welcome you, give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. If you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand? God bless you. God bless you. So good to have you with us. So glad you came. In that gift bag, a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping you listen to it and be encouraged by it. And then there's also a white card. Just take a moment, fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You can just drop that card in, and it gives us just an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Praise God.
Yes, and thank you to those people who invited someone to come to church today. How many of you invited someone to come to church today? Wave your hand. Wave your hand. Good, good, good. Your friend Michelle. Met before the service, but you're here. Sherry, thank you for inviting Michelle. You invite, you invite people to church every week. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Sherry. Every week, Sherry brings someone, invites someone to church. Imagine if y'all did the same thing. We wouldn't have enough chairs here today. If you all just did what Sherry did. Can you talk to everyone afterwards, Sherry, and just get them to do what you do? I would love that. Praise God. Well, say 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
We've got 8 more weeks in this. 8 more weeks in this hotel. We've got 8 more weeks. In 8 weeks, we'll be in our new building. I'm excited. I don't know. How about you, Miguel? Are you excited about it? The setup team's excited. We've got 8 more weeks. I just want to tell you that God is just arranging things, and He's been on our side. You know, we have the hotel booked. We have this room booked. We have it booked for May. But then in June, this room. Got another place to go. Where was I? In June, this room is booked for 2 weeks. There's 2 events booked. And so we weren't sure what we were going to do because we didn't really want to use the ballroom anymore because the ballroom, the main ballroom, is so much more expensive. It's like $3,000 on a Sunday just to use it on a Sunday. And this is like $800. But then the hotel came back to us and said there's a contract, and they've given us the ballroom for June for the same price as that. We didn't even ask them. They just sent another contract. And so we are here. We've got 6 weeks. We'll be in this room. We've got 2 Sundays in the month of June that will be up in the main ballroom. But my point is, we've got 8 weeks before we get in a new building. Because I'm trusting God that we'll be moving in on the first Sunday of July, which is July 1st. So I just want to just let you know that, give you an update on what's happening, the progress on that new building. Things are moving along. I'm going to show you some pictures. Thank you, Miguel. I'll just show them when you're ready. Okay. Here we have Mr. Todd McDonald, who's up in Children's Church today. And he and his friend Rich came, and starting on Friday night, we have started the electrical. They were there Friday, and they were there all on Saturday for 5 hours. Chris was there on Saturday. They've started, but they've got a lot done in just the first day. Running all the outlets and wiring, what have you. Now, one of the quotes, the estimates that we had for electrical work was $40,000 to do the electrical. And I just couldn't understand why it was so much. But let me tell you, we are going to do it for a lot, lot less than $40,000. I think we'll probably get it done for less than half that price. Amen. So God is with us. So the electrical has started, and if there's anyone else who is an electrician, we should use your help, because what's happening is we're doing this in shifts.
We've got Chris's team working in the day on electrical. Then we've got Todd and Rich are coming every night at 4:30, 4:30 till 7:30. They're working. Then they're coming on Saturdays. So we've got this thing going in shifts. So if you know anyone who's an electrician, or you're an electrician and you'd like to help us, we would appreciate that. Carrie, what other pictures we got there? All right, there's the new. There's some ideas for our sign. There's one idea, and there's another one, no logo. And there's the third one logo on the left. We're still deciding where we're going to put it. But that's what the sign's going to look like. Then the plumbing. Stage one is finished on the plumbing. We are now, this week we're meeting with the city. They'll come and inspect it. We pour the concrete. We move on with stage two. So stage one plumbing is complete. Thank God. The beam to hold the second floor went up this week. Now, you may recall when we first got this building, it was just offices. And the second story, they had wooden beams inside the walls supporting the second story. So when we removed the walls, we had these wooden beams, and I didn't want wooden beams all over the place. So we had these beams made, and they're holding up the second story. So we took all those wooden beams out from underneath. So that's a big job that has been done. There you go. There's the lobby. What else do we have? The stairs. They started building the stairs to go up to the second floor. They've started doing that. Next one. There you go. Move on. And there's Chris. I've got to say thank you, Chris, our general contractor. He's there on Saturday morning before 9 a.m. volunteering with his foot in a cast because he broke his foot, fell off of a ladder off of a roof, and had to have 12 screws in his foot. He's up. I told him, what are you doing on the ladder, Chris? He's up there on a Saturday volunteering, helping to finish the staircase. Thank you, Chris. So praise God. Things are progressing. We want to finish up the electrical. We just got started. And of course, we have to the ceilings, $14,000 to put the ceilings in, and then the flooring, about $20,000 to do the flooring at 7,500 square foot. So thank you to everyone who has given. We've got 8 more weeks. I'm asking you for the next 8 weeks to do your best. You know, if everybody does their best, if we all give something extra every week for the next 8 weeks, I believe that we'll have everything we need. We'll have the funds. We're trusting God for about $80,000 to finish this up over the next 8 weeks. That's $10,000 a week. It's a challenge, but how many of you know our God is El Shaddai, is more than enough, he's Jehovah Jireh, there's nothing impossible. We believe, and when you believe, all things are possible. Are you believing with me? Are you believing to give and to help? Or are you believing someone else is going to give? See, don't think, well, I'm believing someone's going to give. Amen, Pastor Steve, someone's going to give. No, you need to believe, what are you going to give? What are you going to do? Because if every one of us does our part, it'll be taken care of. We've got some people that have sacrificed, that have given. We've got people in this church that have given $25,000 to the building. And I'm not talking about multi-millionaires. I'm talking about regular people like you and me that have sacrificed and have given. Family, how many of you know that it's only fair that this is all our church and we all do our part? Amen.
Amen.
Do you enjoy coming every week and hearing the word of God and your life's been changed? Then listen, God expects you to do your part to build his house.
Amen.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
I am excited to speak to you about the favor of God this morning. So I want us to pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your favor. Father, I thank you that as I teach, as I proclaim your word today, thank you for helping me, anointing me, speaking through me today. Thank you for bringing revelation and understanding. Thank you that faith will rise up big in every person's heart, and all doubt and all unbelief will be dispelled. Thank you, Father, for your favor that surrounds us like a shield, protects us, brings us the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to speak about favor in the trouble. Favor in the trouble.
Yes.
So often when we think about favor, we think of something good happening. We got a promotion. praise God for God's favor, or we met someone special, or the medical report turned around, we know that's the favor of God. But you know, often when we face difficulties, when things are not going our way, we're still taking the medical treatment. Our finances haven't turned around yet. The promotion didn't go through. It doesn't seem like we have favor. We have all these obstacles. It doesn't look like we have favor. But listen, having favor doesn't mean that you won't face challenges. In fact, favor is what is keeping those challenges from defeating you. Are you with me? When you're in a difficult time, you might not see it. But favor is what is pushing back the forces of darkness. Favor is what is keeping that sickness from taking your life. Favor is what protected you in that accident.
That's right.
Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you didn't have favor, you wouldn't still be here. The enemy would have taken you out. But David said this in Psalm 41. He said, "By this I know that you favor me, because my enemy does not triumph over me." Another translation says, "My enemies cannot triumph over me." Do you know when you walk in the favor of God, honoring God with your life, knowing who you are and whose you are, you cannot be defeated? Do you know that God's favor makes you undefeatable?
Amen.
You might suffer some temporary setbacks. You might have some disappointments, some unfair situations. But if you'll keep moving forward, and if you will stay in faith, I want you to know that situation is not permanent, because just one touch of the favor of God can turn any situation around. And what you're facing, it may seem more powerful, bigger and stronger, but do not be intimidated. Because you've got to know that you have God's favor. And because of God's favor, you cannot be defeated. The creator of the universe has put his favor on your life. You may not recognize it, but you have favor in the trouble. You have favor in the adversity. You have favor in the storm. You have favor taking the treatment. You have favor dealing with the addiction. In fact, Psalm 5 verse 12 says this. It says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as a shield." The favor of God surrounds you like a shield. In fact, the Passion Translation, I love the way the Passion Bible says it. It says it like this. It says, "Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy." I'm wrapped in the favor of God. How about you?
Amen.
It says that the righteous are surrounded by the favor of God. You see, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you've been born again. And you have been made the righteousness of God. Because someone may read that and say, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm righteous. I'm not sure if that's talking about me. The righteous are surrounded by God's favor. But how do I know if I'm righteous?" Well, the scripture says, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then in Romans 5:17 it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus." Notice it talks about righteousness as a gift. How many of you know you cannot earn a gift? You cannot deserve a gift. Righteousness is a gift that you receive when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. The Bible says in Romans 3 verse 22, "This righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe." And one more scripture in Philippians 3 verse 9. Paul said, "I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith."
If you believe in Jesus and you make him the Lord of your life, you have been born again and you have been made the righteousness of God. And that means the favor of God surrounds you like a shield. Means you're wrapped in God's favor. Amen? God's favor doesn't come and go. It's with you in the good times. It's with you in the tough times. When the Israelites were headed to the promised land, they came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh had just let them go. But then he changed his mind. And Pharaoh and his army came chasing after them. And the Israelites were at a dead end. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army behind them. They had nowhere to go. And Moses held up his staff. And how many of you know what happened? The waters parted. 2.4 million Israelites walked through on dry ground. When we look at it today, when we look back, it's easy to see they had favor. Right? The waters parted. Amen? But can you imagine for a moment being there? Can you imagine having to walk between the walls of water? You don't know if at any moment those waters are going to collapse. Right? I mean, I can just imagine holding on to your children. The enemy's chasing you, closing in. It's loud, people panicking, all kinds of commotion going on. I don't think they walked through there all calm and collected like they were taking a Sunday stroll through the park. I think they were nervous. Maybe even afraid. Thinking if everything could go wrong. Are you kidding me? You've got Pharaoh's army chasing you. This is the world superpower. And you're walking through this Red Sea, water standing on the other side. I mean, they must have been thinking if everything could go wrong. What if these walls don't hold up? What if we drown? What if we don't make it through in time? What if Pharaoh catches us? There were a thousand things they could have worried about. It wasn't until they got to the other side that they began to rejoice. And Miriam and the ladies brought out the instruments and tambourines, and they started, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea." Then they knew they had favor. But the truth is, they had favor the entire time. They just couldn't see it. Favor is what was holding back the walls of water. Favor is what kept the enemy from catching them. But you see, when we're in the middle of a difficulty, sometimes we don't recognize that we have favor. It's easy to focus on all the things that could happen. What if I don't get well? What if I can't find another job? What if my child doesn't get back on course? You could live worried, losing sleep, panicked. But no, I'm here to tell you today, stay in peace. Because you have favor in the trouble. You have favor in the storm. God is pushing back the forces of darkness for you. God's not allowing the sickness, the addiction, the trouble at work to keep you from your destiny and your purpose. There is a force working for you, family, right now, in the middle of the storm, that's greater than any force that is trying to stop you. When you look around, you might see walls of water. You may see just opposition, trouble, sickness. It looks frightening. But you've got to keep the right perspective. It cannot defeat you. Like the Israelites, the favor God has put on your life is going to bring you safely through that situation. The enemy does not have the final say. God has the final say. And what he has purposed for your life will come to pass. No bad breath can stop it, family. No sickness can stop it. No addiction can stop it. No person can stop it. God is on your side. Say, God is on my side. And instead of being frustrated by that problem and worried about your health, upset over that bad break, turn it around. Father, I thank you that I have favor in the trouble. I have favor in the storm. Thank you that favor is keeping my enemies from defeating me. It's so easy to believe you have favor when good things are happening. But what I want you to see today is that when you're in the middle, between the walls of water, you have favor. Amen. When your enemies are chasing you. You have favor when you're walking through that Red Sea. And sometimes we're so focused on the threat and what's coming against us that we don't recognize that without the favor of God, we wouldn't still be standing. Yeah. In Psalm 89, David said this, I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. I will steady him with my hands, with my powerful arm. I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him. The Message Bible says, I will stick with him through thick and thin. No enemy will get the best of him. Let me tell you, God sticks with you through thick and thin. No enemy will get the best of you. In the middle of a difficulty, you've got to remind yourself who you are. You are anointed. You've been handpicked by God. You're surrounded with His favor. He said it always calls you to triumph. He said right now He is steadying you. He's making you stronger. In fact, if you could see behind the scenes, you would see God pushing back the opposition, making the crooked places straight, lining up the right people. Instead of complaining about the storm, you need to declare to the enemy, you're not going to get the best of me. You're messing with the wrong person. When you come against me from one direction, God said He'll defeat you and cause you to flee in seven different directions. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to live worried, focused on all your problems, wondering why it happened. Some people spend all their life trying to, why did it happen? I don't care why it happened. I'm moving on. I got it. I know the secret. I have favor in the trouble. I have favor in the adversity. I have favor in the storm. I know God is fighting my battles. I know that what was meant for my harm, God is turning to my advantage. And here's the key. The enemy wouldn't be fighting you if you were not a threat to him. He wouldn't be trying to stop you if you weren't on the verge of something amazing. He knows you're about to step into a new level. You're about to take new ground for your family. You're about to come into your promised land. You're about to see something that you've never seen. He can sense God's about to exceed your expectations. So the enemy will work overtime, trying to get you worried, frustrated, overwhelmed by problems, not expecting anything good. But I want you to get ready, because favor is about to turn things around. Favor is about to catapult you to a new level. Favor is going to help you break that addiction. Well, Pastor Steve, if I had favor, why do I have all these problems in the first place if I had favor? No, favor doesn't keep you from trouble, but favor will bring you out of trouble.
Amen. Amen.
God wouldn't have allowed it if He didn't have a purpose. We don't always understand everything that happens, family. Sometimes life is not fair, but you've got to trust God knows what He's doing. And the Red Sea before it parted, I mean, the Israelites could have easily thought, God, you said we were going to the promised land. You brought us out of slavery. Did you change your mind? Are you going to let Pharaoh recapture us? Because here comes Pharaoh chasing after us. It didn't make sense to them. But how many of you know God's ways are not our ways? When that water parted, and the Israelites went through on dry ground, when Pharaoh and his army came chasing after them, the waters closed up, and they all drowned. Listen to me. Do you know sometimes God will take you through a difficulty to get rid of what's chasing you? You'll make it through the trouble. You'll make it through the storm. But what you didn't need, what was going to hinder you for years to come, that addiction, that dysfunction, that toxic relationship, won't make it through. If those enemies had not drowned in the Red Sea, the Israelites would have lived with a constant threat at any moment. Pharaoh could show up and try and recapture them. And yes, it was nerve-wracking having to walk through walls of water. I'm sure they didn't like it. But God had a purpose. And you may not like the difficulty you're in right now. And it may not seem fair. But you're going to come out of that storm. And you're going to be free from things that would have held you back your whole life. Amen. God said to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14, in verse 13, Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. Forever. You know, was heaven yet. Verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I believe God's saying the same thing to us today. I believe the same thing applies to us this morning. That addiction that's held you back for years is not permanent. When you come through that trouble, that storm, you will see it no more. That sickness, that trouble at work, the loneliness, it is not your destiny. Let me tell you, breakthroughs are coming. Freedom is coming. Healing is coming. Abundance is coming in the name of Jesus. Family, the things that are trying to stop you, they're just temporary. Don't be discouraged by the trouble, by the adversity, by the storm. Believe, you've got to know God has you in the palm of His hand. He didn't send you into the storm by yourself. He's right there with you. The enemy cannot take you out. God's got a hedge of protection around you. He controls the walls of water. It may seem frightening, but God is pushing back the opposition in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like those three Hebrew teenagers over in Daniel chapter 3. They were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. One of my favorite stories. And the fourth man showed up in the fire. Let me tell you, you are not in there alone. Favor is in the fire with you. When those teenagers came out of that furnace, they were unharmed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke. They didn't even have a hair singed. All their enemies had a new perspective. They knew there's something special about these teenagers. They knew they were anointed. The king even said, King Nebuchadnezzar said, from now on, we're going to worship their God. Now let me tell you, they didn't like going through the furnace, but God used that difficulty to get rid of what would have hindered them their whole life. God changed their enemy's mind, gave them a new respect. And what you're going through, let me tell you, it may not be all about you, what you're going through. It's about God getting rid of what's hindering you. God's putting you in a position to reach the fullness of your destiny. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies.
Amen.
Do not be intimidated by your enemies. The Passion Translation says it like this, never be shaken or intimidated by the opposition that rises up against you. Don't be intimidated by opposition. Don't be intimidated by that sickness. It is no match for our God. He created your body. He can heal it. No problem.
Amen.
Don't be intimidated by that financial setback. Because not having enough and lack and struggle, that is not your destiny. If you keep honoring God and being your best, you'll come to a point where you will see that no more.
Yes.
There's favor in your life that will cause you to prosper. You know, the favor of God causes you to prosper.
Yes.
Psalm 25, verse 12. But one question remains. How do I live in the holy fear of God? Show me the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be my portion. And my descendants will inherit all that is good. Do you want prosperity and favor to be your portion?
Yeah.
Then follow God's path. Live in the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean be afraid of God. It means respect and reverence and put God first and follow Him and obey Him. The contemporary English version says it like this. You will show the right path to all who worship you, and they will have plenty. Do you know that when you worship God, and when you honor God, that He'll show you the right path to take? His word is a lamp to your feet, it's a light to your path, and that path is a path of abundance.
Amen.
The New English translation says, the Lord shows His faithful followers the way they should live. They experience His favor, and their descendants inherit the land. Let me tell you, when you follow the Lord and you obey Him, you put Him first, you will walk in divine favor. And the favor of God in your life will cause you to prosper. Even in a desert. You will flourish even in a famine. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says this, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. It says they are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep down in the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. They never stop producing fruit. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. They never stop prospering.
Amen.
Isaiah 43 says, this is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through the pounding waves. The God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down, they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. This is what God says. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something new. It's bursting out, don't you see it? I'm making a road through the desert, a river in the wilderness. You don't have to get out of that difficulty in order to succeed. You don't have to change jobs, change neighborhoods, change positions. I mean, I've got to get out of the city. I've got to get to another city. You've got the favor right where you are. You've got favor in the famine, favor in the drought. God will cause you to succeed right in the middle of the trouble. That's what happened with Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says a severe famine struck the land as it happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac, that's Abraham's son, he moved to Gihon, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. He's living in the land of the Philistines. And it says the Lord appeared to Isaac and he said, do not go down to Egypt. Do what I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in the land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, and I confirm I will give all these lands to you and your descendants as I promised to Abraham your father. Now Isaac thought he needed to leave Gihon because there's a famine and he needed to go down to Egypt. But God told him, no, you don't have to go somewhere else to try and find favor. You have favor in the famine. I'm going to prosper you in spite of what the conditions look like. Do you know, logically speaking, it didn't make any sense.
Right.
How many of you know it doesn't make sense to plant seeds in a famine?
Right.
I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I know that.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me? Yeah. Famine is not the time. I'm going to buy a farm. Not a good times. The ground was hard, dry. There wasn't enough water to irrigate his crops. Isaac could have talked himself out of it, but he understood this principle. He had favor in the famine. And the Bible says in verse number 12, then Isaac sowed in that land. He sowed in that land. I can imagine his Philistine neighbors saying, man, what's this guy thinking? He's wasting his time. Doesn't he know nothing's going to grow in a famine? Imagine them laughing at him. Look at this nutcase. Then Isaac sowed in that land, verse 12 says, and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. The Lord favored him. It didn't make sense to sow during a famine. And it doesn't make sense to tithe and to give when you're in a financial need. It doesn't make sense. But when you do what God says, you will experience his favor, which brings supernatural blessings in your life. Isaac didn't have to leave, try to get out of the famine, go somewhere else to be blessed. He had favor in the famine. Let me tell you, God can increase you in spite of what's going on around you. Don't complain because you don't have the job you want. Oh, Steve, if my supervisor would give me credit, if I could move to another city, if business wasn't so slow, if this and if that and if 100 other things. There's favor on your life right now to cause you to prosper. But as long as you think that you've got too many disadvantages, you're waiting to get out of the famine, then you'll start believing, then you'll start being your best. Let me tell you, that's going to limit what God can do in your life. You're going to do like Isaac. Father, I thank you. I've got favor in the famine. I thank you. You're opening doors that nobody can shut. You're causing me to stand out, Lord. You're bringing opportunities. Thank you. Whatever I touch will succeed. It will prosper. Your job is not your source.
Amen.
I said your job is not your source.
Amen.
God is your source.
Amen.
And God can bless you in unusual ways.
Yes.
God's not limited by your salary.
Yeah.
He's not limited by your training, your education, your experience. God's got ways to increase you you never even thought of.
Yeah.
Amen.
He can cause people to be good to you. He can bring opportunity. He can give you ideas. He can give you creativity.
Yeah.
You could be like Tom Cartwright sitting on your balcony looking at your palm tree and you get an idea for a fan blade and you've never made a fan blade in your life and you go on and you patent it and it becomes the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the fan blade industry. Who do you think gave him that idea? God gave him that idea. God caused a Jewish man by the name of Job to see me on TV and call me and said, I've got a building I want to sell you. That one phone call turned things around for us in our church. One phone call. I didn't see it coming. Let me tell you, God has got some unexpected blessings that you didn't think you didn't see coming. I heard of someone got a huge inheritance from a family member they'd never even met. They didn't even know they were related. They didn't have the same last name. At first they thought it was a mistake. That one good prayer put him in abundance. He didn't see it coming. Oh, Steve, I don't know any relatives like that. Neither did he, but they found him. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says this, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all these commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth and all these blessings shall come after you, shall come upon you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessings will come chasing after you. When you honor God, when you obey God, let me tell you, you don't have to chase after blessings. Blessings will come chasing after you. But so often, we focused on our circumstance. I don't expect anything good. I'm in a famine. This problem, got that problem. Let me tell you, God's not limited by the circumstance. He's not limited by the economy. He's not limited by your job. He's not limited by your training. He's not limited by your family. God owns it all, family. Like with Isaac, just one touch of God's favor will take you and your family to a whole new level. The scripture says in Genesis 26, verse 13, Isaac got richer and richer. By the day, until he was very wealthy, he accumulated flocks and herds and many, many servants. So much so that the Philistines began to envy him. It all started with Isaac believing that he had favor in the family. He could have focused on his conditions. Oh, I can't plant here. I can't expect anything good here. I'm in a drought. I'm in a famine. Instead, he dared to believe God. He dared to obey God. Are you letting the conditions take you out of what God put in your heart? Are you sitting here thinking, well, one day when I get favor, one day when I'm out of the famine, when the company promotes me, when I get the training? No. Listen, you got favor right now. Favor is what gives you the advantage. Favor is what is going to catapult you to a new level in your life. Favor is going to make things happen that you didn't see coming. God's not limited by the conditions. You know what he's limited by? He's limited by your thinking. He's limited by your believing. The Bible says that in Psalm 76, the Israelites, they limited God in the wilderness. They limited him. Why did you take the limits off of God? Quit thinking of all the reasons why you can't be blessed. Why you can't accomplish your dreams. Why you won't get well. Why you can't meet the right person. Oh, there's nobody out there. Listen, you may not see a way, but God has a way. And when you believe, then all things become possible. Isaac was so blessed that the Philistines became envious of him. The same people who were making fun of him for sowing in the famine, the same ones that were telling him that he was wasting his time, now they're upset that he's being so blessed. It's funny how people won't do what you're willing to do, but they become jealous when you're blessed and they're not. People want to criticize. Ooh, look at that pastor. Have you seen that pastor's car? See what that pastor brought? Have you seen how many cars that pastor gave away? How many cars I've given away? You dare to take the step of faith. You dare to pray. You dare to stretch. You dare to believe. You dare to give. You dare to tithe. Now you're seeing increase and you're seeing favor. Listen, family, don't be surprised when the Philistines show up. Don't be surprised. The naysayers are not happy when they see you rising higher. They'll find fault. They'll criticize. They'll try and bait you into conflict. Just keep running your race. It's not about you. It's about the favor of God on your life. Don't blame me because I have favor. Favor ain't fair, baby. Don't let the chatter distract you. The negative comments, the jealousy, the envy. Listen, you don't have to answer to people. move yourself. Just stay focused on your goals, and God will take care of the Philistines. God will take care of the opposition.
Yeah.
In the scripture, there was a man named Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. He was building the temple, or rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. It had been destroyed years earlier. King Cyrus had issued a decree to have the temple of God rebuilt. And everything's going great. They laid the foundation, built the altar. Then the opposition came. People didn't want it rebuilt. They started bribing the workers and paying people to cause trouble, stirring up all kinds of turmoil. Zerubbabel could have easily thought, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do, but I've got all this opposition. These powerful people coming against me. It didn't look like he had favor. It looked like his enemies were getting the best of him. But you can't see what God is doing behind the scenes. I said, you can't see what God is doing behind the scenes. It may look like it's going to stop you, but if you stay in faith, God will use it to promote you. Because you see, King, what happened is King Cyrus had died. And he was succeeded by a new king. And his name was... It takes me a moment to try and get the pronunciation of his name. No, it's Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes took over from King. So it was Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Artaxerxes. And the people that were opposing the rebuilding of the temple and Zerubbabel, they sent a letter to King. They sent a letter to the king. And they were lying about Zerubbabel. And they said to the king, they said, King, these people that are rebuilding the temple, they're evil people. They're going to try to overthrow you. They're not going to pay you taxes. This is a big mistake. You should stop this. So the king, he asked Zerubbabel, who gave you permission to build this temple? And they told the king, we are servants of the Most High God. There was a temple here that was built by a great king of Israel years ago. But because our ancestors made God angry, he gave them over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the temple. And he took our people captive to Babylon. You know the song? By the waters of Babylon. Rivers of Babylon. Anyone know that song? Does anyone familiar with that song? Phone in. Right. He said, when Cyrus became king, he issued a decree that the temple should be rebuilt. So the king and his men go search the records, the royal archives, and sure enough, they found the decree where King Cyrus had issued a decree to rebuild the temple. So he called in the people who were opposing Zerubbabel, and listen to what he said. In Ezra 6, verse 7, he said, do not disturb the construction of the temple of God. Let it be rebuilt on the original site, and do not hinder the governor of Judah and the elders of the Jews in their work. Moreover, I hereby decree that you are to help these elders of the Jews as they rebuild the temple of God. You must pay the full construction costs.
Yeah.
Without delay. From my taxes collected in the province west of the Euphrates River so that the work will not be interrupted. Not only that, I want you to give the priests in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, and male lambs for the burnt offerings that they present to their God. And without fail, I want you to provide them with as much wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil as they need every day. Not only are you going to pay for the whole temple, you're going to feed them every day while they're building it.
Yeah.
See, they meant it for harm, but God turned it for their good. You might have people and circumstances coming against you, but let me tell you, God knows how to cause it to backfire. They were trying to stop him, but they ended up having to help him. Without their opposition, he wouldn't have had the temple totally paid for.
Amen.
Not only that, they had to bring the food every day. God said, I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes I love it when God has your enemies serve you dinner. I can just hear Zerubbabel. Can I get some ketchup for those fries? Do you want to know Zerubbabel's secret? Do you know what he did? Zechariah 4 verse 6. He said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. It is not by might, and it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. No mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will flatten out before him, and Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring it was all done by grace alone. How many of you know what another word for grace is? How many of you know what grace means? Grace means unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. It was God's favor that turned it around. It was God's favor that brought them the victory. It was God's favor that silenced the opposition. It was God's favor that pushed back the forces of darkness. Let me tell you, God knows how to vindicate you and the people that are trying to hold you down. Just stay in peace. It's going to backfire on them. God's going to turn it to your advantage because you left in favor. You're surrounded by favor. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 57 verse 6. My enemies have set a trap for me. Frantic fear grips me. They've dug a pitfall in my path. But look, they themselves have fallen into it. Let me tell you, God is working in ways you can't see. It might look like the opposition. It may look like the opposition did the better of you. But let me tell you, the truth is, it's the hand of God setting you up. I mean, you see with Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, put in prison. How many of you, if you were Joseph, and your brother sold you as a slave, then you land up in a foreign land, don't speak the language, and you're faithful, you serve in Potiphar's house, then Potiphar's wife tries to sleep with you. You run out of the house, but she accuses you of rape, and they believe her, and you get thrown in jail. How many of you would be sitting in jail? I feel like such favor. I feel so favored by God. How many of you know? I'm sure there were times that Joseph must have questioned that. It didn't look like he had favor. How many of you know? All of that opposition, all of the bad breaks, the unfair situation, it was God directing his steps. And one day he saw what God had been doing behind the scenes. The people that tried to stop him, all that opposition, had moved him into his destiny. It was divinely orchestrated. When you face things you don't understand, difficult challenges, it doesn't mean that somehow you've stepped out of God's favor. It doesn't mean God's forgotten about you. No, it's a setup. It's all part of God's plan. Take you to the next level in your life. And some of the things that are frustrating you, people coming against you, the closed doors, the disappointments, you may not like it, but without it, you wouldn't reach the fullness of your destiny. How many of you know Job would have never received double if God had not allowed him to be tested, to go through trouble, adversity, unfair situations? Do you know what Job said? In Job 10, verse 12. Job said, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my life, my spirit. Do you know what's interesting? Job didn't see things restored until chapter 42. But right in the middle of the difficulty, when it looked like everything had gone wrong, in chapter 10, instead of complaining, Job was saying, Lord, I thank you that I have your favor. I thank you that I have your favor. He understood this principle. He had favor in the difficulty. He had favor in the trouble. He had favor when it didn't look like it. Because sometimes favor is hidden. You can't always see it in the storm, in the betrayal, in the loss. People could look at you And they could think, you don't have favor. You're struggling. You're still dealing with that illness. Those people at work, they're still holding you back. It might look like you're stuck, but you can't see what's happening behind the scenes. You don't know what God is up to. Because 9 months later, Job not only came out, he came out with twice that he had before. God restored him double what he had before. Let me tell you what looks like is going to keep you from your destiny. Instead, it's going to launch you into a new level of your destiny. Those obstacles are not going to stop you. They're going to promote you. But you've got to keep the right perspective. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 tells us, set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the divine favor that is coming to you. Put your hope and trust in God, that you're surrounded by the favor of God, that you're wrapped in the favor of God. In difficult times, you'll have thoughts that will come to your mind. It's never going to change. You're never going to get out of this problem. You're never going to get out of this trouble. But you've got to know deep down that favor is headed your way. You've got to keep reminding yourself, healing is coming, breakthroughs are coming, restoration is coming. You've got to set your hope wholly on the divine favor of God. Keep believing for God's favor. Get up every morning expecting the favor of God to turn the situation around for you. Go out during the day knowing you've got a secret weapon. You cannot be defeated because God's favor is on your life. You don't have to live worrying, panic because you're in between walls of water. You have favor in the storm. You have favor in the famine. Right now, God is pushing back the forces of darkness. Favor is what is keeping your enemies from defeating you. It might have been meant for your home family, but I want you to get ready, because I believe and I declare that Europe is about to backfire. Like Zerubbabel, you're about to see what God's been doing behind the scenes. People that were against you are suddenly going to be for you. Problems are about to turn around. Unexpected blessings are coming your way. Breakthroughs, vindication, promotion, healing, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. Do you receive that today?
Amen.
Say amen and amen. As I kind of come to a close here today, let me check my time. Alrighty, I'll close it up with this. I want to just wrap this up. I want to quickly tell you how to increase. Do you know that God's favor can be increased in your life?
Yes.
Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says this. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. Do you know that God's favor can increase in your life?
Yes.
How? Three things. Number one. First of all, you've got to believe that you are surrounded and wrapped in favor.
Yes.
Amen.
I tell you something. I believe I'm favored.
Me too.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm God's favorite child.
Amen.
Like my daughter called me. Well, my youngest daughter, 7. She said, Dad, am I your favorite child? And I just looked at her and said, Courtney, you're my favorite 7-year-old. My favorite 7-year-old daughter. You're my favorite 7-year-old daughter. She never heard 7-year-old. She just heard you're my favorite daughter. And she went and told her sisters and her brother, Daddy said, I am his favorite. And she never forgot it. Until today, I'm Dad's favorite. I want every one of my kids to believe they're my favorite. Because let me tell you, I believe I'm God's favorite. I just believe that. I have no doubt I'm surrounded in the favor of God.
Yeah.
Someone comes against me, someone attacks me, tell me, I'm not going to fight you, but God will.
Yeah.
God will fight my battles.
Right.
So you first of all, you've got to believe you're surrounded by favor. Number two, you've got to declare God's favor every day. Thank you, Lord, I'm surrounded by favor. Thank you, I'm wrapped in favor. Thank you, your favor is taking what the enemy meant for my harm and you're turning it for my good. Thank you, your favor, Lord, is pushing back forces of darkness. Thank you, your favor is bringing promotion and blessing in my life. Confess, I'm favored by God. Some people think, oh, I want to be humble, Pastor Steve. That sounds like, yeah, I'm full of myself. I'm favored by God. No, I don't think so. Listen, man. That's why you're not seeing favor in your life. You need to declare and say, I'm favored by God. It's not about you, it's about God's favor that's surrounding you. And then number three, the third thing. is you have to obey God. You have to obey God. The scripture says this in Proverbs chapter 8, and I'm going to close, I promise, with this. It says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways, who listen to my instruction, and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. How do you receive favor from God? By doing what God says. Simple. Some people, they've heard about tithing every year for the last 5 years, and they still ain't tithing. And they wonder why they're struggling. You will not experience the favor God has on your life as long as you are robbing and stealing and disobeying Him in the area of time. And all the tithers said, amen. Preach it, Pastor Steve. Now I'm trying to help you. There's people here, sitting here in this church that have been sitting here for years. And hear Pastor Jill every week teach about tithing, and they just switch off. And they don't realize that the very thing that is going to bring them favor, they are refusing to do it. I started tithing when I was 17 years old. I didn't finish high school. I'm not proud to say. I'm embarrassed to say. But I have since then gone on and got a Bachelor of Ministry, a Doctorate of Ministry, a Doctorate of Divinity. So I'm not totally stupid. But I can tell you right now, a college degree does not mean you're going to be successful in life.
That's right.
There are lots of people with college degrees working in menial jobs. But what I did do, I left school when I was 17, and I went and started working at the bank, and I started tithing. And I can tell you right now, what God has done in my life is beyond what I would have ever hoped for. What I would have hoped for. And it started. That favor in my life started when I started tithing.
Amen.
My first job was, I was making $400 a month working at the bank. And a year later, Jill and I got married. And by then, I think I was making $750 with another job. But one day, I was walking through the mall. I was making $750 a month. So I'd gone from 400 to 750 in 15 months. And I went to the mall, and I felt the Lord prompt me. I saw a man setting up a furniture display. And I felt the Lord say, go talk to him. And in those days, I was shy. Those days were gone forever. But in those days, I wouldn't just go up and talk to a stranger. I was more shy. Now, to anyone. And I went over to him, and I just said, hi. And I just said, this is a beautiful furniture. And it was a beautiful furniture. Leather, yellow, gray, beautiful furniture. And we started to talk. Turns out he's a Christian. He's a believer. Come to find out, one of his top salesmen just got another job and resigned, and he had an opening. He said, would you be interested in interviewing? I said, yeah. I went and interviewed. I got that job. I went from $750 to $2,000. I was 19 years old. I went from $750 to $2,000 just like that. What was that? It was favor. It was favor. What brought the favor?
Obedience.
Amen. 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 If you want to see God's favor increase in your life, believe your favor, declare the favor, and be obedient to what God tells you to do. Every instruction that God gives you is always for your benefit. God will never ask you to do something that's for your harm. It's always for your good.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Amen. Walk in favor. Walk in obedience. Obey what God's word says. Do what God tells you. You'll see more and more of God's favor increase in your life. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to bow your head for a moment, if you would. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord, we thank you. We are so grateful for your favor that surrounds us. Lord, thank you. That you favor us. You on our side. No matter what trouble, what storm, what adversity, we know your favor is with us. And your favor is pushing back the forces of darkness. And your favor is turning what the enemy meant for our harm to our good. Your favor is what brings victory. Thank you. While you have your eyes closed, before we conclude this service today, we never ever end the service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that everything is right, everything is well between them and God. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You're sure about it? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is if you died today, are you sure, are you certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure, you can be certain. In fact, you can leave this place today and you can know that all is well, all is right between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you've committed, it's forgiven. It's washed away. You can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. You can know that. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you said, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to know that God's favor is surrounding me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. If you want to be included in this prayer, I ask you right now just to lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up high. Say, here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Include me. Let me tell you, I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. All right, I don't see anybody. Praise God. I guess we're all believers, we're all saved. All the people going to hell are out there on their boats today. Get out there and get them in. Praise God. I'm in the church. Now, as we come right now, we come to a time in our service where we worship and honor the Lord with the tithes and the offerings. It's a part of our worship to God. It's holy to the Lord. This isn't something that we just skim over as fast as we can. Come on, Pastor Steve, hurry up, hurry up. We're going to get lunch now. Hurry up. This is holy. You want favor in your life? Take this seriously. Amen? Because as you give today, the Bible says that when you honor the Lord with the tithe, when you bring the first 10% of every dollar I get comes in my hand, the first 10 cents, the first dime, belongs to God. First thing I do with any dollar I get, 10% goes to God. And has since I was 17 years old. And when you do that, the Bible says God opens the windows of heaven above you. And He puts a blessing and favor on you. God told Abraham, if you will walk uprightly before me, I will bless you with an abundance of favor. And Abraham became so blessed and so wealthy. Same with Isaac, same with Jacob. All these men, they saw the favor of God. They were all tithers, they were all givers. When you tithe, you will see favor in your life. I've seen such amazing favor in my life. You want to see God's favor? Be obedient. Step out in faith. What are you holding on to? Something, what are you holding on to? You're holding on to that dollar. God's favor is priceless. It's worth far more than the 10% that God's asking you for. God's favor will elevate you. I went from $400 a month to $2,000 a month, just like that. One touch of God's favor. Boy, I was glad I'd been tithing that $40. I was so glad about it then. Amen? Now remember, as you give today, as you tithe, there's two envelopes. Please hand me a pack that was on the chair. Hand me one of the packs that Judy, would you mind next to you? One of those packs on your chair. The whole thing. There you go. Thank you, sir. That's the great thing. Thank you. Now remember, your tithes and offerings for the next 8 weeks go toward Christian Family Church to keep food in the store. So we've got to pay to be here today, and we've got bills to pay. We've got 8 more weeks. So your tithe goes in the black envelope to Christian Family Church. But if you give it to the new building, please use the red envelope. That's for the new building, because that's the same church. And the new building has been purchased in the name of the same church. All the contractors, all in the name of the same church. All the checks are coming from the same church. So if you give into the new building, please use the red envelope. And then also there's a card. It says, my building pledge. The Bible says to make vows to the Lord. The Bible says make vows to the Lord. Why? Because a vow is a step of faith. And I've asked people to, over the next 8 weeks, what I'm asking you to do. And if you're a visitor here today, like Michelle, then please don't feel in any way, compelled or obliged. This is, I'm really talking to people, this is your church, you're committed here, you're part of our church. I'm asking you, what would you please to give over the next 8 weeks? Remember, we're trusting God for $80,000. All we need is everyone to write a check for $1,000 and done, we're out of here. Just write a check for $1,000 and we're out of here, and Pastor Steve doesn't have to talk about it anymore. I'm sure there's a lot of people, if they could write a check for $1,000, they would. But some people, as much as they want to, they're not able to. There's other people who write a check for $10,000. See, that's what you're going to do with God puts you. So I'm asking, we had 2 weeks ago we needed $100,000. We had people pledge $18,500. And so now we're 80. So we've got 80 to go. And then we move in a building that everything's paid for. With our mortgage, half what our previous building was. We were paying $27,000 a month. Our new mortgage is 12 and a half. Our church is going to explode and grow. We're going to have so many new people. We're going to have so much finance coming in. Let me tell you, we can get through the next 8 weeks and we're going to have an amazing miracle. Amazing miracle. So, I want to say thank you to every person for every dollar that you've given. We appreciate every single dime that you've given to this new building. And you all know that we have used this finance with such wisdom. Everything we've done, we've saved money everywhere along the line. Chris was going out to Home Depot and Letchworth Blood asking for donations and discounts this week. So you know we bought all this electrical, not all, but a lot of electrical equipment. He told me, Pastor Steve, it should have been $1,000, but I told him it's for our church, we got it for $500. That's happening all the time. All the time. So I just want you to know, man, we are... You ask Chris, we are spending as wise as we can, doing everything at the best possible price, getting help, volunteers, donations, discounts, all kinds of things. God is on our side. And we give Him all the glory, we give Him all the honor, we give Him all the praise. Amen? Is anyone ready to give today? How many cheerful givers do we have in the house today? How many people believe in giving? How many tithers are in the house today? Amen?
Amen.
Say this, hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray. Say this with me. Say, Father, I thank you.
Amen.
For your goodness.
Your blessing.
Your mercy. Toward me. Thank you for saving me.
Thank you, Lord.
For sending Jesus.
To redeem.
Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for favoring me. Thank you for blessing me. Say this, say, Lord, it's my honor to bring unto you the tithe, the tenth of all you give. Lord, I honor you today You are first in my life. I trust you. And I thank you that the windows of heaven are open over my life. Blessings are chasing me now. Favor surrounds me. I'm wrapped in the favor of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer. Thank you for blessing the work of my hand. Thank you for bringing promotion, increase, unexpected blessing my way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for telling me what you would have me to do to build your house. What you would have me to give toward our new building. Because, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Everything I have belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Are we ready? Anyone still writing? Everyone's ready? Go ahead. Ushers, thank you so much. Pass off and back. I want to just mention to you, where's the ladies invite card? Anybody? Got one? Look. Where's the ladies girls not out card? James? Where's the girls not out ladies cards? We got none left. They're all gone. Alright. On Friday, May the 11th, my wife is having a ladies' night at our house, at our home, at 7 p.m. And I want to encourage ladies to come and join them and have a great time at my house. That'll be good. Friday, May 11th. And then also today, after service, we're having our lunch club. We do it once a month. We invite you to join us for lunch. We're going across the street to Thai Lotus. It's right across the street where the movies are. Thai Lotus, great, reasonable. We usually have a great lunch there for about $8. Chicken and rice. Not expensive, that's why we choose it. So if you're welcome to come join us, meet some people. My wife and I are going. We'd love you to come right after service. The Thai Lotus Blossom across the street. How many people glad you came to church today? How many people know you're wrapped in God's favor today? As you go out of here, you go out of here surrounded by the favor of God. It's with you wherever you go. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. Invite someone to church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you there.